Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness. Brought to you by Forever Family Foundation, on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I call your name, the echo is haunting, the echo is always the same. I call your name, the echo is haunting, an echo can never be changed, so I call your name.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Signs of Life Radio's Medium Insights Hour, where we get to explore the mindsets of many accomplished spiritual mediums on a variety of topics related to the study of consciousness, spirituality, and the afterlife. My name, Roman Karpyshka, and as your host, I'm always honored and privileged to have these one-on-one conversations with super talented and gifted mediums, like today's medium, Angelina Diana. Angelina is motivated to work, I'll just give you a little bit of her background. She's motivated to work towards the greater good of the world and is dedicated to the work of healing through mediumship. Her grandmother was not secretive about her intuitiveness and regularly engaged the open use of tarot cards, but Angelina didn't pay very much attention to those practices. But while working as a radio newscaster on assignment in exploring the legitimacy of psychic mediums, Angelina discovered her own heritage. Fight it as she did, Angelina was being brought down a pathway that would force her to leave her journalistic career behind and replace it with something that she even had a hard time explaining at first. Angelina has ever since enjoyed a very successful career in her mediumship work. She was the original medium certified by the Forever Family Foundation, sits on its medium advisory board, and was instrumental in helping to create and host this Signs of Life radio show. She's participated in scientific mediumship research and remains very interested in the mechanism that makes mediumship possible. She also does a lot of work for volunteer work for the Forever Family Foundation and many other worthy causes. She's based in Connecticut and does private and group readings as well. She could be heard on the radio on Connecticut's KISS 95.7 with Courtney and KISS in the morning show. And her website is www.angelinadiana.com. So our show is sponsored by a fine levy of supporters such as the Kamlik Center, Love's Knows No Death, Janet Mayer, Hugs from Heaven, Lloyd Auerbach, Dr. Parisetti, and many others. So, dear listeners, a little message there that tonight's show is conducted for research and informational purposes only. So your questions, as always, are very welcome. But please keep in mind that Angelina will not be performing any readings tonight. If you do have any questions for our esteemed guests or would like to contribute, please feel free to call at 1-888-627-6008. That's 1-888-627-6008. So our main discussion tonight, we'll kick off this party with a topic that's really cool. It's the do's and don'ts of mediumship. Welcome to the show, Angelina.
Thank you so much for having me. It's such a pleasure to be here.
And it's always a pleasure to have you back here. You're like a pro
Thank
at
you.
This, so I can learn a thing or two from you.
I don't know. You do a great job.
Thank you so
job.
Much, Angelina. That's really kind. So, yeah, you have a very interesting background, and you're definitely not a stranger to broadcasting and interviewing with this whole Forever Family Foundation. When did this all start?
Of working with the Forever Family Foundation.
When did you become affiliated with them?
Well, you know, I was in the process of, I believe it was the beginning of 2005, and I was actually taking classes from another medium in Long Island and was in the process of meeting up with him to discuss some class things.
Okay.
And he was doing an event for the foundation. And a funny story was, I hope I can share this, but
he told
Bob, you know, this medium is coming to meet me, or the student of mine, and she looks like Pamela Anderson. So that's how you'll know that it's her. Now, I had no idea that I resembled that or whatever. And Bob came up to me and said, oh, you must be the medium that is coming here to meet so-and-so. And we struck up. I was so impressed with
wow.
this event and how many people were attending for free to hear this medium talk because of the wonderful hearts of the Ginsbergs and how they wanted to bring to light mediumship, evidential mediumship, how it was going to work. And
yep.
from then on, we struck up a conversation, and they were in the process of beginning to certify mediums. And they were wondering, you know, how could they, as a not-for-profit, start bringing into light, into the world, what evidential mediumship is. So they had the concept of certifying mediums, and they honored me by asking me to be, for lack of a better word, the guinea pig of starting this process of how do we develop a certified program. And I believe I went into five or six different versions of it, working with the bereaved and them scoring me on my evidence-based mediumship and, and really how to come up with something that was, you know, fair and balanced, but could determine was this medium, me or any other medium that wanted to be certified, were they evidence-based versus, say, just a psychic? And as we know through the wonderful education of what the Forever Family is doing, there is a difference between psychic information and connecting with someone who is on the other side. And through the hard work of the foundation, they have come up with quite a beautiful system and an evidential system of being able to weed out, if you will, those that feel they're mediums and they're not evidential, or they're maybe a baby medium and they're not ethical,
right.
or maybe they're just a psychic who feels that they think that they're communicating with something, but they can't quite get a handle on that it's to the deeper level and energy of communing with those that have crossed over. And I know from, so since 2005, I've been honored to be a volunteer and a certified medium of the Forever Family Foundation. I know that through the years, there have been many, many people that have wanted to go through the program, have gone through the program. And because of the hard work of the foundation, they've been able to certify, I believe, only 30 mediums. I think, and there've been hundreds that have gone through.
Yeah, it's
so
tough.
That was my. Yeah.
I heard it's a tough. It's a very tough test.
Well, I don't know if tough is the word.
Yeah, that's probably the wrong word, but it's definitely.
No, I don't mean to correct you. But I do believe they've done a great job for the foundation being non-mediums. They've done a great study and understanding how mediums work. You know,
right.
So to me, I look at it as a reverse process of saying, okay, so how does an evidential medium work? And if a medium was to, say, inquire about working, how do they present themselves to the foundation? And are there key things or things that they say that would be an instant clue that they either aren't doing it for the higher good, or they don't understand what evidence-based medium, what the word evidence means in mediumship, or can they even discern the difference between what a psychic does, which is reading life force energy, or someone that's alive, hasn't crossed over yet, their life issues, so to speak, or someone who has transitioned to the other side, heaven, nirvana, whatever your belief system is, and what energy that is. And in a person's languaging, in a medium or purported medium's languaging, they've really, I want to use the word scientific, even though they probably would not want to, because they don't consider, even though we're science-based, they're not scientists per se. But I feel scientifically they've been able to fashion it so that they can determine with the information that comes through that's scored by someone, a bereaved person in the certification program, and with how they screen them, they're able to really do such a fantastic job at finding evidential-based mediums, which is so important in the field of mediumship. It really is. So I really tip my hat to them, and I'm honored to be
in
the process. Fabulous.
No doubt about it. I have a lot of respect for them as well.
Me too.
They've helped me quite a bit, and I've reciprocated by helping them as much as I could too. So it's an honor
for me as well.
So you were talking about psychic information versus mediumistic information.
Yeah.
Can you give a simple example of what is one and what would be another one?
Sure. Well, from a medium's, I think it's a different viewpoint from a medium's viewpoint versus a person seeking out a reading. So I'll start from a practitioner's viewpoint.
Okay.
From my viewpoint alone, keep in mind that I think just as you and I are so unique and there'll never ever be anyone like you or myself on the planet again, that's the reason why I feel every medium works differently. Because we're all so richly and beautifully unique from within that kind of spurs out a different way that we perceive energy and respond to it and discuss it or bring it out for clients. So the way that I may work may be different and how I perceive and receive what I'm about to share with you. So, if any of my colleagues are listening, I know they understand that. So from my viewpoint, when someone requests, say, a future reading with me or a spiritual counseling session, so to speak, I'm still evidence-based in that. There's different kinds of psychics out there. There are psychics that work with missing person cases or murder cases or lost items. I do not do that. I work with the individual living life force energy. So if I was to do a psychic reading, it would be a two-way communication. It would be me sitting down with a physical person, and I might say things such as, I sense or feel 2 months ago that you lost your job, or I sense that you have fear. I can sense your fear that you don't feel courageous about asking your boyfriend or girlfriend how much further your relationship is going to go. And it's a very low based hum energy that I feel, and it's very quick because there's no, when I explain mediumship, there's no powering down your energy to speak to the living and calming down your energy to hear, see, feel, taste, or smell information from someone who's passed. So it's a very quick firing energy, and the languaging is such that it's about the person and their intention to create and attract things in the physical world. So if you are someone in your life that you're seeking out a psychic, for example, you would not go to them to ask your father who's deceased, what should I do about the house? Because the function of the medium is to prove evidence that we survive physical death,
right?
And to learn to balance the waves of grief management. So from a person seeking a reading for a future reading, you would seek a psychic. And the information would be evidence-based in the beginning of the session of the psychic not saying things like, you're cursed and give me $1,500 to remove the curse, or do a candle class. The latest thing that I've been battling lately is mediums are doing candle classes. Create a candle to attract your loved one. Well, I say to you, you're more powerful than a candle. A candle can't do that for you, nor can it help you get your boyfriend back.
So people will buy anything.
They will. So an evidence-based spiritual psychic has the incredible ability, or the evidential ability, I didn't mean to say that, the evidential ability to say, spend the first part of the reading making statements of energy, not prying for questions, statements of energy of what's based in your past, what energy you're holding on to, because if you carry that into your future, it's going to affect your future, and what things are coming your way in the future connected to the spiritual energy of that person, and how it's going to have an affect, positive or negative, with the future. Now, from a medium's viewpoint, it's a different kind of communication because to me it feels like a three-way exchange. So for example, if you were to come to me for a session, my first goal would be to completely explain to you how I work as a medium, because my biggest wish for anyone is that they walk away knowing they can do it themselves. So really the time that we're spending together, whether it's an hour session or a 90-minute session, how could you possibly capsulize a whole person's lifetime in spirit in 90 minutes, right?
Right.
There's a richness there. And what if more than one person comes through? So a medium worth their salt in the beginning is going to be able to sense that loved one on the other side. And the communication is different than psychic because I would be able to, in an honoring way, represent that person as if they are either speaking to that person in their personality, for example,
mm-hmm.
or saying things that they used to say, making them see things from their viewpoint. So, for example, with a psychic reading, if I'm to read you psychically and you're living, I would say things like, I sense you feel you would want to sell the house because of these reasons. But let's say you have someone in spirit who didn't want you to sell the house or has a personality in how they would deliver that. So my job would be to honor the intention of spirit, representing, if this is what they wanted me to feel, for example, their personality. And even though it wouldn't be what you would need to do, you would never say, you know, Dad, should I sell the house? Let me ask a medium. But a medium could bring out the personality of how they would deliver that information. And there's no way that I could possibly know that. And furthermore, the tone of feeling them, hearing them, seeing them, smelling and tasting things from them. My point was, when I go to them in energy, or they come to me with their intention, it's me releasing my mind and my feelings about what's going on in my life and lowering my energy so that I can receive that information. That's one communication. Then I myself, to deliver that to the living, I need to come be aware of my surroundings and then raise my vibrational energy to the living to say, they're making me feel that they were, a healer in life, they were a doctor. They're making me feel their empathy, and they're showing me medical prescriptions, and they're writing them out, for example. So I was feeling and seeing something. But I have to first come back to my senses to deliver that and then raise my vibrational energy towards a person to receive something from the living. So I sense their life force energy, but not psychically. I have to block them, because if I go into their psychic life, then I'm going to get all their stuff about how they feel about what their loved one's talking about and their intentions about what they want to do with the house.
Right.
So it's a totally different feeling.
Okay.
And it's for me as a medium, and other mediums work differently, it's a slower paced reading. From a medium's viewpoint, from a practitioner's viewpoint, it feels totally different. So
your
intention as a person coming to me for a future reading, it's working with your physical life issues or what you want to attract. With spirit, many people can come through during a session. So as a stranger to your loved ones, I have to go off their intention. Why are they coming through?
Most people intend to hear from a particular person. Is that
correct?
Okay.
That's what they'd like, yes.
Yeah. So you know what? This is super fascinating, and you have me completely mesmerized to the point that it's already 20 after, and it's time for a commercial break. Can you believe it?
Okay.
It's going by so quick. So we're going to have a little break from our sponsors. Stay on the line, folks, and we will be back right after our commercial break. Thank you.
The Camlack Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the Camlack Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death, and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.camlack.com, that's K-A-M-L-A-K.com, for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one.
We all grieve in different ways, and let's face it, grief hurts. Losing a loved one is usually the hardest event we will ever face. We can throw our hands up and become hardened by our grief, or we can take positive steps to transform it. Love Knows No Death, a groundbreaking and powerful grief transformation method, can be what you've been looking for to provide some peace and understanding. It was created and written by medical doctor and professor Dr. Piero Calvi Perazzetti, and it's a combination of a self-help workbook and video course. The workbook has the power to lessen grief and foster significant healing, and has already helped countless people to not only lead productive lives, but to do so with the knowledge that they will indeed see their loved ones again. The workbook can be purchased for $19.95 on Amazon or on the ForeverFamilyFoundation.org grief and loss page, where a digital version is also available for $9.95. Love knows no death. Truer words have never been spoken.
Imagine seeing spirits are spontaneously speaking indigenous Brazilian rainforest languages. Janet Mayer, a psychic medium, does just that. In her new book, Spirits, They Are Present, she opens the door to her private life in order to share her compelling, fearful, and at times humorous journey, providing evidence that when we die, we simply make a transition to another life. Spirits, They Are Present, available now at www.janetmayer.net, Amazon, and other online booksellers. Order your copy today.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
Am I Psychic is a mobile app designed using statistics, science, and parapsychological protocols to test psychic ability using fun games. Each game has two unique modes. In psychokinesis mode, influence the game using mind over matter ability. In extrasensory perception mode, guess which random option will be chosen. Am I Psychic can store your results in an anonymous database used to eventually publish in academic journals. Available on the App Store and Google Play. Go to ampsychicapp.com and be a part of proving psychic phenomena to the world. Some profits will be donated to the Ryan Research Center.
Welcome back to Signs of Life. brought to you by Forever Family Foundation.
And welcome back, everybody. This is the Forever Family Signs of Life Medium Insights Hour show, and we are talking here with our esteemed guest, Angelina Diana. And we were our main topic of conversation tonight is the do's and don'ts of mediumship. But before we get more into that, we do have a caller online that has a question for you. I believe her name is Cheryl, and she's from California. So welcome to the show, Cheryl.
Thank you. Good to be listening to you. I didn't quite catch up. You were not doing readings and just wanted general questions, but my general question is, what is going on when a person's in bed at night sleeping and it feels like there's a cat walking on the bed, but there's obviously nothing or no one in the room?
Well, thank you for your question, Cheryl. That could mean a couple of things. It would lead me to believe that you have a cat that's passed or a cat that's connected to you that's passed. I believe our animal fur babies survive physical death too as well. And I do believe, and I hear this a lot in the 18 plus years I've been doing this, is I want you to think of this concept. When you are sleeping at night or you're starting to count down your day and you're at a relaxed state, your mind moves a little away from you. When you dream at night, it's the best form of meditation. I'm sure you'd all agree with that because you're not attached to the physical world anymore, right? Your mind kind of relaxes. So what takes over is very similar to what happens to a medium or a psychic when they're doing their work. And I encourage my clients to learn to pray, meditate, or daydream, or when you sleep at night, or you're in that half-stage sleepy energy, your mind-centricness melts away, and what takes over is your ability, your instrument to feel, hear, see, taste, or smell energy from spirit. A lot of my clients will report, oh, I woke up in the middle of the night, I saw my loved one at the end of the bed. How come I don't see them during the day? Well, it's because you're thinking about paying the bills during the day or working or, you know, you're connected to the physical world, are you not? So you have to say to yourself at night, you're almost going into, I like to say, and I don't hear many other mediums say this, and I've actually had slight arguments with my colleagues on this, but I believe at night, you know, when you say they visit you in your dreams, I believe we visit them. I believe we visit them because we're going into a internal world when we sleep, are we not? You know, we're moving ourselves away from our physical problems. Our brain is shutting off, and we're going into that deep down inside unique place where I believe our intuition lives, but also our mediumistic abilities live. So we are actually visiting them. And I say to folks often when they say, how come I'm not getting a sign? Well, that's our loved ones going from the non-physical energetic world into the physical world when they send us a sign. Well, we can do the opposite. We can go into their world by praying, daydreaming, meditating, or sleeping at night, or going into that half, I'm kind of floating off into my dream life world. We're shedding off the physical world. We're going into their world, and that's what a medium does. So when you're feeling that little, and I feel it too of my Adelaide cat, my Addie cat, I unfortunately had to put down a couple of years ago. I miss her very much, but she's with me. And I feel her at night hopping onto the bed. And sometimes she's to sleep on my hip at night. I'll feel that too. And I know as I'm drifting off, she's always with me, but I'm going into her world. I'm sensing her. So that's what I feel humbly that's happening is you're feeling your fur baby because you're putting yourself in that state of consciousness or basically you know, sometimes I say the mind is a good thing to waste if you want to be a medium, because you don't want your mental thoughts to be there. You want to go into their world, and that's what you're doing, Cheryl. Congratulations on being a personal medium and connecting to your fur baby. I'm very happy for you.
Well, thank you. It feels good. Yeah.
Yes, doesn't it? Doesn't it? When we feel that empowerment, because grief takes away our empowerment. It strips something away from us. And when we can feel that empowerment of connecting to them in the non-physical world, it doesn't cure our grief, because grief is something we'll always manage, but it does give us that hope. And when we have hope, it gives us that breath of spirituality to connect to them. And even though we'll always miss them, because that's a part of being physical, we'll miss them until we see them again. They don't miss us because they're always with us. So congratulations on being a personal medium. You know, you have to take those moments. I say to folks, get a journal and write down those little successes. And when you're feeling sad, you have to honor that sadness. But when you're feeling that moment of sadness, go into that validation journal, I like to call it, and go, my goodness, I felt you sleeping on my hip last night. Oh, I saw you in the grocery store, or I could smell your perfume, or whatever it is. You have those moments of, you're with me, and I will see you again.
Yeah.
Thank you for your question, Cheryl.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you.
All right. So that was a really good question, and
it was a very good question,
really good answer. You know, what you said really resonated with me, because you know, like, you know, I have deceased loved ones that, you know, that I miss very much, and even animals and that kind of thing. And I'm sure that, you know, during the dream state, I visit them. One of the problems, though, is that you can't remember your dreams. I can't seem to remember my dreams.
Sure.
I would love to remember them.
Yeah.
You know, do you have any tips for that?
I do. I really do. First, you need to, sometimes it's good to remember the dream backwards to front. Try to remember the last image or thing from a part of your dream. The other thing, too, is I love teaching dream analysis classes, because if you think of a dream, think of it in the same context of either a play or a movie. In every play or movie, there are actors. There's a medium, so to speak, of how it's being seen. Are you seeing it? You know how, like, in dreams, you can see it as if you're watching a play. You can see yourself physically in the dream, or you see yourself as the actor and you see the players around you. Try to remember colors. You know, a film can be black and white or color. Try to remember if there's a director of the play. Is there music? Where's the scene or location? Because with every movie or play, there's all that. So sometimes it's great to put it in the context of a play or a movie. But if you can't remember anything, try to remember first the first feeling, the first words, or the first thing you saw as you were coming out of your dream state. And 9 times out of 10, if you do not move when you first get out of bed, it'll start slowly coming to you. And I say to you, sometimes spirit or your loved ones just send you that one sign or that one feeling. And that's all you're supposed to remember.
Right.
Our mind, you know, our mind wants to complicate it and make it this, of course, because our heart wants it. We want
of
this
course, yes.
big, clear message and this, this hour-long dream. Sometimes I do feel spirit knows, and they remember what it was like to be physical, and they know how fragile our intuition is, or remembering our mediumistic abilities. So I do believe sometimes they just give you that one little wink or that one little word or smell, and we need to carry it with us through the day and see. I call it catching someone's rhythm of energy, you know, taking a moment to catch that rhythm of energy and go, wait a minute, something's familiar here. Why? You know? And in the beginning of grief, or in the beginning of even wanting to study to be a medium, or even being someone who's a griever and wants to be a personal medium, it it's good to have that validations journal, because you can start seeing a message forming. Like, let's say you start Monday with your dreams and you get one thing, and Tuesday you get another, and Wednesday you get something else. By the end of the week, if you string all those signs together, it forms a message sometimes. And it's remarkable if you take, and it's tedious for us, but if you take the time, the messages will be there.
It's very, very interesting.
Yeah.
I also think that, I've been told another technique is to keep a pad and paper right beside you on your nightstand. So.
Oh, yes. Yes,
you can
that's
definitely write
an
some app. Stuff down.
Absolutely. The second you get it, write it down. That's a very good technique I forgot about, and that's true.
Mm-hmm.
How about us feeling like we have to acquiesce to the whim of the dream just happening? How about before we go to sleep at night, we have a wish and a hope and a promise that we send out to our loved ones before we drift off? We take our physical life issues and visualize. I like to visualize like a little black box with a key, and I take mm-hmm. all the negativity of the physical world, the weight of the physical world, and I kind of visualize locking it up in there, because trust me, it'll be waiting for you in the morning, because
yep.
that's how the physical world is. It doesn't go
yep.
away. And lock it away, and then have first a hope. And the hope is, I know you're with me right now. I hope that I can meet up with you tonight. And then
right.
the wish is, you know, I wish for us to be in your kitchen, Mom, where we used to always meet after work, and we would talk about XYZ. That's my wish. And the promise is, when I come out of this dream, whatever I dream that's positive about us, I'm going to take a little piece of that and make it real in the physical world. I call that creating an anchor. You know, you like to create anchors of our loved ones. Many, and I know you alluded to the fact that you lost a son, and my heart goes out to you.
Thank you.
Parents, through that, you're welcome. No parent should be put in that position. But many parents that I've seen make sense, even though you can't make sense of it, try to make sense of that loss, will create anchors in the world, a scholarship fund or a grief mm-hmm. group or something to honor that child.
Mm-hmm.
I think that shows you the depth of the grief. But many folks like myself who don't know what you feel like, I never lost a child, but I lost a parent. We don't think to create those anchors. I don't know if it's because the grief isn't as deep, or it's natural to lose a mother first. You know, it's the natural course of action on
yep,
the order
life.
Of the circle of life, how it should happen. That, well, okay, we have to accept it. We don't think to create an anchor for them. And so if you have that hope, that wish, and then that promise before you go to bed, you'd be surprised. It's almost like you're inviting yourself to go meet up with them versus feeling victimized by grief and saying, I hope we meet tonight, you know? So you can take control of that. And I encourage anyone who's listening, who is grieving, to know that you can feel empowered. I call it giving grief a big old black eye. You feel empowered by taking those steps for yourself.
Well, I'll tell you one thing, Angelina. I'm definitely going to try that tonight.
Good.
Absolutely.
I hope it helps.
That's great advice. Yeah, absolutely.
I hope it helps you. I really
do. I feel optimistic. I really do. So
good. Good.
Yeah. So, hey, getting back to our topic a little bit.
Yes.
Is there, like, when you do, you know, the do's and don'ts of mediumship, are there certain topics that you will not discuss with your sitters? You know, like, because of, you know, some kind of message that's unwelcome, or maybe it's private or something like that. Do you encounter that a lot? And how do you handle that as a medium?
Well, it's my duty to actually represent spirit. So it's my
mm-hmm.
job to deliver everything.
Okay.
I do believe that there's an ethical way to deliver it. Usually if it's a negative or twisted way to look at it, that's my clue that I'm putting my own feelings into it, and that's a don't of mediumship.
Okay.
It's not my job to put my opinion
right.
or spin it towards what I think it is.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all in the delivery of how it's being given to me.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
if we put it in the context of feeling, hearing, seeing, tasting, and smelling, to give you an example, a lot of people say, do murderers come through? People who have murdered, do they come? Well, they sure they do.
Mm-hmm.
But if you've been a student of energy, like I consider myself, when I started to practice, I didn't put down medium on my business card. I put student of energy because I didn't feel I deserved the title of medium.
Right.
So if we think of being a student of energy, and let's say somebody comes through and they're discussing how they murdered someone. Well, it's not my job at that point to put a spin on, well, there's a hateful person coming through and they murdered someone. You know, it's not my job to present it that way. My
okay.
job, because for all I know, that could be the person that murdered the person that they're wanting to hear from.
Right.
For all that I know.
Mm-hmm.
So my point of view is to ask why. You're in a loving place. Why are you showing me that? You're in a loving
yeah.
place because
mm-hmm.
they're not a murderer anymore. Everything that caused them to murder, for example, died with the physical body. Murdering comes from hatred. Hurting people do hurting things. Maybe not being loved. But when somebody passes, they're forgiven. So my job is to represent what's your intention to come through. So I deliver everything, but it's done in a loving way.
Right.
And they often validate the love that they're feeling, say, from someone, from a family member that felt bad that they're a murderer. So the evidence ties in.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, it does to me. I think a lot of people might question, like, they're probably thinking in their minds right now, it's like, all right, well, what happened to Hitler? Is he a loving person now, you know? Somebody
well,
that
that's a very common question that I get.
Yeah.
And if you think about 6 million Jews facing Hitler in heaven, imagine what Hitler is receiving now.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to be him.
Yes, and it's not that they retaliate, in my humble opinion, because what he did was atrocious.
Yeah,
atrocious.
Probably a different type of message he's receiving that is, you know, he's probably having a hard time.
And the work that he needs to do to feel what mm-hmm. he did and the impact of the living that are still impacted
yeah.
from their relatives who didn't, you know, there are still some people that were...
that are alive that have been affected, of course.
Yes, and even mm-hmm. generations that were born after that hear the stories. So
yeah.
he has to take that all in and understand the impact of that. In the physical, is that an equal punishment to fit the crime? Of course not. But is that a burden that he's carrying that he needs to do a lot of work?
Well, yeah, it's a
yes.
burden forever, right?
Absolutely. I
mean, yeah, absolutely.
So you know, that's a very
We have to go to
question.
Another commercial break.
Okay.
Can you believe how fast the time is flying? It's like
it's
we just got off
fast.
The break and it's another time for another break.
Yes.
So listen, we're going to yes. hear from some more sponsors and we'll continue this very fascinating conversation.
The CAMLAC Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the CAMLAC Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. visit www.camlak.com, that's K-A-M-L-A-K.com, for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one.
Hello, I am Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist and author. You can learn much more about life after death, precognition, mind-matter interactions, remote viewing, ghost hunting, and other psychic experiences and research through the acclaimed Distance Learning Parapsychological Studies program at HCH Institute. Our courses are audio-based with additional written and video material. Call HCH at 925-283-3941 or visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com. Our courses include The Search for Life After Death, Being Psychic, Psychokinesis and Precognition, Ghost Hunting, Theories and Models of Psychic Experience, and more. Taken singly or as part of the certificate program, these courses will enrich your knowledge of parapsychology and the range of psychic phenomena. You'll learn about being psychic yourself. Visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com or call 925-283-3941 for information about our individual distance learning courses and certificate program. Hello, I am Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist and author. You can learn much more about life after death, precognition, mind-matter interactions, remote viewing, ghost hunting, and other psychic experiences and research through the acclaimed Distance Learning Parapsychological Studies program at HCH Institute. Our courses are audio-based with additional written and video material. Call HCH at 925-283-3941 or visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com. Our courses include The Search for Life After Death, Being Psychic, Psychokinesis and Precognition, Ghost Hunting, Theories and Models of Psychic Experience, and more. Taken singly or as part of the certificate program, these courses will enrich your knowledge of parapsychology and the range of psychic phenomena. You'll learn about being psychic yourself. Visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com or call 925-283-3941 for information about our individual distance learning courses and certificate program.
Hello, my name's Piero Calvi Parisetti, MD. I invite you to discover my video course on Evidence for Life After Life, a professional counseling resource for the bereaved and the dying.
Transform the fear of death, heal the pain of a loss by learning about life after life.
For more information and a free preview, visit www.drparisetti.com. That's drparisetti in one word.
We all grieve in different ways, and let's face it, grief hurts. Losing a loved one is usually the hardest event we will ever face. We can throw our hands up and become hardened by our grief, or we can take positive steps to transform it. Love knows no death. A groundbreaking and powerful grief transformation method can be what you've been looking for to provide some peace and understanding. It was created and written by medical doctor and professor Dr. Piero Calvi Parisetti, and it's a combination of a self-help workbook and video course. The workbook has the power to lessen grief and foster significant healing, and has already helped countless people to not only lead productive lives, but to do so with the knowledge that they will indeed see their loved ones again. The workbook can be purchased for $19.95 on Amazon or on the foreverfamilyfoundation.org grief and loss page, where a digital version is also available for $9.95. Love knows no death. Truer words have never been spoken.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide support for families who have suffered the loss of a loved one. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707 or on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation.
And welcome back, everybody. We're here at the Signs of Life Radio Medium Insights Hour with Angelina Diana, speaking about the do's and don'ts of mediumship. Speaking of do's and don'ts, I had a little bit of an experience a couple years back where I booked myself a medium. I went to her office, left an envelope with cash for, you know, to pay her, and gave a fake name, made the appointment with her secretary, came back 2 weeks later for my appointment, and her secretary told me that this particular medium is refusing to give me a reading because her spirit guide said it was unadvisable. What do you think about that?
Well, I'm certain you did all those things to keep the integrity of your reading, which is a good thing to do. There's absolutely nothing wrong with not wanting to give. Matter of fact, it's advisable. You don't want to be giving a medium a lot of information in the beginning. That way, when you leave the session, you're protecting the integrity of your reading, and you feel completely clear and free that you did not give any information to the medium. I don't know for sure, but it sounds like to me this particular medium felt insecure that she didn't have your name, which would raise an eyebrow. It's almost like, I mean, you gave her cash. It's not like you weren't intending to go to the reading. I don't think there's ever been a time that in my 18 years that a spirit guide came to me and say, don't read that person before they come to the session. So, you know, our goal is to help. You know, if for some reason in the beginning of the session there's no jiving, that's when you step in and go, you know, we're not connecting, so let's stop the reading and maybe you're meant to go to another medium. You know, that's the way to handle that, to not even entertain or start the reading with you shows either they're a baby medium or they're not an ethical medium.
I think in this person's case, from things that I've heard afterwards, it was more the latter than the former. So, but at least I got my money back. So
there you go. Well, that's, at least they were kind. Okay. Good.
Yeah, absolutely. So you got a few more tidbits, I believe, about the do's and don'ts of mediumship, right?
I do. And, you know, I think it's important, first, if you're seeking a metaphysical practitioner, is that you do understand the difference between a psychic and a medium. Because, like I said, there are a lot of psychics doing the work of mediumship, and they're not mediums. So first, it's important to understand that a psychic is someone that deals with your life, force energy, your future, the things that are coming up for you. A medium is someone who doesn't concern themselves with your energy. They cannot dial directly to who you want to hear from, but they're honoring the energy of those that have crossed over and their intention. Secondarily, you want to be sure that they're an evidence-based medium. And the way to determine that is when you go on their website, if they say at the bottom of their website, for entertainment purposes only, run the other way. I don't do this work, or any evidential medium with the Forever Family Foundation does not do this work for entertainment reasons. So you're doing it to help. So that's another indication. It goes without saying, though, that some mediums might put on their website that the information that they're giving is left to your interpretation to do what you need to do to balance your grief. We do not and are not responsible to heal you from grief. So that is a distinction that you will see on some websites. Thirdly, you want to seek an evidential-based medium. So when you are, for example, filling out information to get a reading, you don't want them to be probing questions like, who do you want to hear from? Things like that. What's the first name of the person that that's deceased that you want to hear from? Like, the other side should be telling you that if that's what they want to talk about.
I went to see a medium that asked me to bring a picture of my deceased.
That was the, you're very psychic, because that was the next thing I was going to say. when a medium works, you cannot channel spirit necessarily by looking at a picture. If anything, what you're doing is you're giving clues to the person, and it actually, for me, it gives me too much information. Like, I don't want to be swayed by my own thoughts of what I know. about a loved one that you want to hear from. So the less I know, the better, because then I know the information coming through is purely from spirit and not in my mind. I do make one exception for myself when it comes to animals, because a lot of breeds look the same.
Right.
So for me, looking at a picture isn't going to tell me something unique about it. And I only usually do that when I'm on the radio, because it's just radio has to be really quick. But when it comes to human beings, nothing physical. You don't need to touch anything either. Psychometry is a psychic tool of touching something. If someone gives me my mother's ring to read, I'm going to read the energy she left on it about what was going on in her life, not her spiritual energy. So touching something from someone who's deceased is also a misnomer. Fourthly or fifthly, whatever thing, a medium should never be prying you for questions while they're doing the reading.
Right.
And always make statements of energy when they're reading from spirit. So, for example, someone might say, why am I seeing a purple hat with a feather? Well, that's a question, but there's information in that question. But if they say things like, so, who do you want to hear from? What did your loved one do for a living? You know, that's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Well, who are you grieving for? You know, that's a little prying. I don't know if we have more time. I'm looking at the time here. Yeah, we do.
We've got about four minutes.
Good. Okay. So the other thing, too, is some baby mediums or undeveloped mediums or people that are trying to get you emotionally riled up so you think you're connecting would say things like, and I've seen mediums who aren't developed do this, but I've also seen mediums who are not mediums do this. They'll say things like, oh, I see a woman. She's putting her hand on your shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
She's giving you a kiss right now because she loves you so much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then you get emotional, and then you lose your wits. You know, you just, and they're playing on your emotions, and it's so unethical to do that. And the tip that I can give to someone who's grieving is do not lead the medium to your loved one. Meaning, if let's say I sense a woman around you, she makes me feel like she passed from cancer, seeing that she has blue eyes, she's not telling me the relationship, but I feel her reason to come through is to validate blank, right? People,
mm-hmm.
I've had to stop clients. I'll say, do you understand that? And they'll go, yes, it's my Aunt Sue. She died 2 years ago. Like, stop, stop, stop. You know, do not feed the medium. You know, it's very important that you take the purity of spirit's intention with the evidence attached to it. So in a nutshell, do not give too much information in the beginning. Know the difference between a psychic and a medium. Look for an evidence-based medium. Do not give a picture or a physical item.
Mm-hmm.
If you find that there's no evidence coming through, not from who you want to hear from, that's another thing too. Sometimes another spirit might be coming through that's not connected to whom you wish to hear from, but they might be giving evidence of survival of consciousness. And that's truly the main job of the medium.
Right.
Our job is to prove that communication is possible, and the hope is that you take that ability with you, meaning you realize just because the session is over doesn't mean spirit has stopped talking. It's up to you to learn or start accessing your own ability to connect. It's very
important.
Those are
great words of advice. And
I hope
What a session tonight. Plethora of information. I think our readers are going to be very satisfied with this. And it's so good that it's, all of this is saved. If anybody wants, you can replay this as podcasts from the Signs of Life Radio archives. So I know I'm going to replay it because I just want to hear your voice again and some of the advice that you gave, especially about the hope, wish, and promise. I definitely want to apply that. So we want to thank you so much, Angelina, for helping
You're
us out
welcome.
Tonight and for being here tonight. And again, Angelina's website is www.angelinadiana.com. And I'm sure you have all kinds of information on that website about your services and
about
mediumship in general, I'm sure. And we thank all of our listeners for calling. And, you know, just like Bob and Fran always say that, you know, what do they say? They say that mediumship is our loved ones are only a heartbeat away, and one day science is going to prove it, right?
That's right.
Okay, so good night, everybody.